is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Ethiopia, a civil war erupting again. The headlines over these last days and hours. U.S. envoy in Ethiopia to seek halt to fighting. Fighting erupts again in Ethiopia's northern Tigray region. Ethnic attacks kill 60 in Ethiopia's Oromia, says a human rights body. I welcome Gregory Copley, of the editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, who's my guide on Ethiopia. We've been talking about this for more than a year. Prime Minister Abe has attempted to calm this down and to resolve the conflict that was led chiefly by the gang attacking out of Tigray region, a part of Ethiopia. However, there was this period of calm where it appeared the central government was successful. And now, Gregory, a very good evening to you. Suddenly it erupts. What is the driver? Why now? Good evening to you, Gregory.
Good evening, John. Well, the driver for the new outbreak has been literally the last opportunity which the TPLF, the Tigray Popular Liberation Front leadership, sees that it can to make any inroads at all and to save itself. I think the TPLF is now at a point where it's run out of a lot of its military hardware, it's run out of its ammunition and supplies, and it's run out of money. I think this is a last-ditch stand by the TPLF to reassert itself and gain some traction, gain some popularity among the Tigrayan population, which does not, by and large, support it, and to continue its ideological war against the government of Ethiopia, which is intrinsically opposed to. If it can't own it, it wants to destroy it. It wants to destroy its neighboring populations of Amhara people and Afar people. So all of this is conspiring to motivate the TPLF into one last stand. And the United States envoy has been conditioned by the current administration in Washington to support the TPLF, which is rather unreasonable because the TPLF is an extremist Marxist organization, which is designed essentially to break up Ethiopia because it wants Tigrayan secession. So basically, the United States has been keeping the TPLF on life support for some time, allowing or encouraging supplies of, quote, humanitarian relief to go through to Tigray province. And those supplies have been invariably co-opted by the TPLF fighters. So it's creating this last storm. Now, at the same time, the TPLF has formed a temporary alliance with the Oromo Liberation Front from the neighboring Oromia region, and the Oromo Liberation Front is also a secessionist force trying to get the secession of the Oromo region. And to do this, it fights everybody who talks about Ethiopia as a united polity, as the old empire of Ethiopia. And it wants to punish anybody who talks about Ethiopia as though it was the legitimate entity. It punishes and kills people who say that they're with the Ethiopian Orthodox Church, and it particularly punishes the Amhara people, many of whom live in parts of what is now Oromia region. So the current flight of 60 killed, and this is just one of many which have been occurring over the last few weeks. These are Amhara people killed by the Oromo Liberation Front and its associated gangs like the Shire movement and so on. So it's a critical war. Finally, a few weeks ago, Prime Minister Abe said that he'd had enough of the Oromo Liberation Front because he's been accused of supporting them because he is half Oromo and he represents the Oromo political wing in the federal government. But he said he's had enough and the Oromo Liberation Front has to go and will be destroyed. So what we are seeing now are many things on the Tigray front and on the Oromo front coming to a head. And this will, with any luck, lead to a more stable Ethiopia in the coming year. But it's going to take a lot more to finish this off.
Great powers, Gregory. Great powers are watching this very carefully. And I read from Al Jazeera at the end of July. This is more than weeks old, but it is why I flagged you on this. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov has said Moscow supports Ethiopia's efforts to stabilize its internal political situation in remarks that sought to draw a contrast with what he presented as meddling by the West. This is dated 27 July, so it's 5 weeks, 6 weeks out of date. However, Lavrov was in Addis Ababa, wrapping up a four-nation African tour aimed at drumming up support for Moscow at a time of confrontation with Western powers over Ukraine. Gregory, the Russians are opportunistic, and they don't spend a whole lot of money. Lavrov is a man with shoe leather for his record. And is he welcome in Addis Ababa? I note this photograph is with him, with Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Foreign Affairs Demeki Mekonnen. Is this a welcome message to Prime Minister Abe in this conflict?
Absolutely. In fact, it's not just Foreign Minister Demeki that has been greeting Lavrov, but it's also been Prime Minister Abe. The Russians have counted on the fact that the State Department was supporting the TPLF and has then gone in and supported the government. They've sold them for cash money, Sukhoi 27 fighters to replace some of their old ones, and has been helping provide unmanned aerial vehicles and the like in the campaign against the TPLF. So the Russians have been actively supporting a unified Ethiopia, which is something that the West always did in the past and should be doing again. So the Russians have really capitalized on the missteps, shall we say, from Washington and some European capitals. They've been providing not only military equipment, but also pilots in many respects for the Ethiopian Air Force, as well as other personnel and trainers. They've done this over many decades recently, actually. So this is not something new. The Russians have been reliable in that regard. They learned the lessons from the Soviet era, and of course there's no attempts to renew the old communist ideological training. In fact, they're supporting the Ethiopian government to crack down on those old-style communists in the TPLF and the OLF.
The puzzle, then, about the Russians involved in the Horn of Africa, does this extend to other parts of the conflict zone? I'm thinking of Egypt, for example, and its interest in blaming Ethiopia for the Nile shortfall, or even Eritrea. Are the Russians active in Eritrea, or are the Russians active in Tigray? Are they open-handed to everyone?
No, they're not open-handed towards the TPLF in Tigray. They're strictly supporting the Ethiopian government. They have been trying to be even-handed with the Egyptians, and they've tried to broker a sense of understanding between Cairo and Addis Ababa. Haven't been very successful. The United States persuaded the Egyptian government to cancel an order for 24 the Russian-built Sukhoi 35, a very advanced fighter aircraft. And the Egyptian government went along with that, much to the chagrin of Moscow. But interestingly enough, that order has been picked up by the Iranian Air Force, who will now acquire those 24 Sukhoi 35s, which Egypt had ordered and which are now getting ready for delivery. So it's been the Russians haven't lost out on it, but they're not happy with the fact that their attempts to broker a peace between Ethiopia and Egypt has been thwarted. And it is in the West's interests to really get a viable settlement between Ethiopia and Egypt on the Nile water usage. The reality is that the Ethiopia has not been cutting off water to Egypt, but the Egyptian population has quadrupled in the past few decades, and the water supply has remained constant. Hence, you are going to have a water shortage. And the Egyptians have been trying to offer all kinds of solutions and assistance so that the Egyptian government is not looking for a scapegoat for its present water shortage problems. So the Egyptians will be helped by the reactors which Egypt has bought, and they will use those reactors for water, Mediterranean or Red Sea, saltwater desalination, which will help solve some of Egypt's problems.
I note in this report about Prime Minister Lavrov in July in Addis Ababa, it mentions he was also stopping the Republic of Congo and Uganda, making remarks on all of these stop-offs. Gregory, does Russia come with a Chinese checkbook in Africa, or are these separate enterprises, Moscow and Beijing?
No, in fact, in Africa, Moscow and Beijing are absolute competitors. And you could argue that the Russians under Foreign Minister Lavrov have been active in building bridges between the countries. What we saw in recent times was that the Ugandan military forces and the commander of the ground forces there had actually supported the TPLF and so on. And after Lavrov's visit, all of a sudden, the Ugandan military was saying, no, we were wrong. We absolutely support the unity of Ethiopia, and we wouldn't do anything to jeopardize that or imply that we were backing the separatists. So Lavrov has been quietly building fences in the area, and he's proven to be extremely skillful, although he doesn't have a lot of prestige within, if you like, within the Moscow power circles, but he has been doing tradesmanlike work in building fences and so on, and fences and bridges, if you like, in Africa.
I'm speaking with Gregory Copley, the editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. We started with the Horn of Africa, where there is still the threat of famine because of Ukraine conflict. However, the threat of civil war is immediate with these new reports of massacres, outbreaks, threats to the capital. We move now to where Gregory has just returned from, Nigeria, and there's fighting there as well. I'm John Batchelor.